There's chaos in the world, and you're supposed to be kingdom Christian, casting a kingdom vote.
Dr. Tony Evans says our laws need to protect both the existence of life and the dignity of life.
It is time for kingdom voters to take a stand for life. Get up out of your chair and go vote.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Many of the choices we'll make in the upcoming election will affect how people live. But Dr. Evans says some decisions will determine whether people live. Today, he takes a look at issues that transcend political perspectives and party affiliations. Let's join him.
We're talking about kingdom voting. We're talking about the partnership that Christians have been allowed, encouraged, and are responsible to join God in with regard to expanding his rule in society through civil government. Civil government is the role of the established government to reflect God by maintaining safe, justice, righteous, and compassionately responsible environment for freedom to flourish. And at the core of what the government is supposed to be about is the safety and well-being of its citizens. We saw that that's why the government does not bear the sword in vain. To get rid of evil, to promote good, so that freedom can flourish. And so when we talk about voting, we have to deal with the issue of life. Because since that is the role of government, to protect life, then when you consider your vote, you have to raise the question about what is life, since that is its divinely ordained responsibility. Now, most discussions about the issue of life do not start at the right place. That's because they, unfortunately, not enough start with Scripture. God is the creator of life. Therefore, we start with God. When God created mankind in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, he said, "Let us create man in our own image." So discussion of life in any human form it finds itself starts with the imago Dei, that is, the image of God. When you don't start with the image of God, then you make life what you call it to be, not what God has created it and stamped it to be. The psalmist says in Psalm chapter 8, verses 4 to 6, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and you have crowned him with majesty?" Human beings are majestic in the created genius of Almighty God. It's not just another form of a general creation. It is a spectacular masterpiece in the hand of God. And what makes man spectacular, or as the psalmist says, majestic, full of splendor, is that mankind, it says male and female, has the mark of God stamped on them by their creator, the imago Dei, the image of God. This means that every human being has a divine design. This means that every human being is sacred because they have the stamp of God on them. That means every person created was created for community, since God is a triune being, one God composed of three co-equal persons, who's one in essence while distinct in personality. So we were created for one another. It means that every person matters. It's significant from womb to tomb. The government is to protect life, and it is to protect it because it wants God on its side. But leave God out, and then it's my body. It's how I feel. It's what I think. And then we want to talk about saving the life in the womb, but oftentimes disregarding it to the tomb. There are not only to be laws to protect the existence of life, there also must be laws to protect the dignity of life. American slavery was a loss of dignity. Criminal leasing was a loss of dignity. Jim Crow was a loss of dignity. Racism in any form is a loss of dignity. Whether it's individual or familial or structural, it is canceling out the dignity. It is removing the crown that exists on every man and every woman born into the world. Putting your knee on the neck of a helpless victim is not only to destroy their life, it is to attack their dignity. That's why the Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 9, how dare you reduce the dignity by cursing, not cussing, cursing, that is removing the dignity of a person, he says in James 3, 9, because they've been created in the likeness of God. When we allow the poor to have worse education than others because they don't have the same dollar bill, when we don't care about the health, well-being of people who do not have access to adequate health care, when we reduce their dignity, we have attacked God. And when we reduce it by law or by practice, then that's called post-life abortion. Because you are aborting either the length of their existence or the well-being of their existence. So it just depends on which abortion you're talking about. Because all of it is to reflect God. When appraisers go into appraisal districts and underbid it so that they can have gentrification rushed in and people not given the value of their property, you've lowered their dignity. And when that is allowed, either formally or informally, when it is not rejected and rebelled against, then we have become, even as Christians, co-conspirators to oppressive regimes which the government has been given to address. Psalm 89:14, God says, from my throne comes righteousness and justice. You can't have one without the other. These are twin towers. They operate simultaneously. We got one group calling for righteousness. We got another group calling for justice, as though God can be divided. He says, from my throne, you got to deal with both. So don't just talk to me about moral laws. Talk to me about it, but don't put a period there. Talk to me also about the just application of the law without discrimination. There's abortion in the womb, but there's abortion on your way to the tomb, so that people don't get to live out their divinely ordained destiny. On a piano, keyboard, got black and white keys. Guess what? All of them make a sound and all of them are equal, because they all were created to make their unique sound. There's no baby in the womb or baby born from the womb who does not have the stamp of God, and the whole system should be designed to enhance their ability to reach their divinely ordained destiny, and that ought to be led by Christians. It ought to be led by the church. Yes, we should protest abortion in the womb. But that same number of people or more are to righteously and peacefully protest abortion outside of the womb. Okay, I got two bills here. This $1 bill has George Washington's picture on it, worth a dollar. I got a $100 bill here. I got Ben Franklin on here, $100. Now, they look the same. Same color, same words, in God we trust. You know, the United States of America's on here. You know the difference between these two bills? The image. I got one with George Washington. I got one with Franklin. And that image changes its value. When I look at this one, I know it's got higher value because of the image that's stamped on it. Now, let's go a little further. I'm going to wrinkle up this $100 bill. This $100 bill is now wrinkled. It's not smooth like I started with, but you know what? It's still worth $100. You know why it's worth $100? Because I still got the image. See, some people's lives have been crumpled up by their sin or their circumstances, coupled up by the evil of other people or the evil of other systems. But what they need to know, because they have the stamp of God on them, they still have divine value. And even though we must condemn wrong being done, we should never remove their human dignity while we condemn the wrong. Let's go one step further. I'm going to throw the dollar bill, the $100 bill down, and I'm going to step on it. What I'm doing now is I'm oppressing it because I'm stepping on it. I'm putting my weight on it. And now I'm treating it like it's nothing because it's under my foot and I'm reducing it to nothing. It's flat. Oh, but when I pick it up, I got the same image. I still got Franklin. You know what that means? I still get to spend $100 because of the image. A lot of people in our world now have been crumpled up by sin, circumstances, oppression. But what we need to do is remind them of the image that's been put on their lives. They've been stamped by God.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment as he continues our look at the significance God has conveyed upon life. There's a lot at stake in the coming election, far too much to boil down to just a choice between political parties and platforms. In Dr. Evans' book and brand new Bible study, Kingdom Politics, he explores the biblical principles that can help us make godly decisions on Election Day. Understanding and making those wise choices is an ability every believer should possess, which is why we're making the Kingdom Politics package available as our gift when you make a donation toward Tony's ministry. Along with the book and Bible study, you'll also receive access to special video streaming content from Dr. Evans, as well as the full-length audio versions of all 10 lessons in this current series, Returning God to Government. You can get them on CDs or downloadable MP3s. The choice is yours. But this is a limited-time offer, so request it right away before time runs out. You can do that at TonyEvans.org or by calling our resource request line at 1-800-800-3222. That's online at TonyEvans.org or by phone at 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that contact information for you after part two of today's lesson and this.
Are you looking to embark on a unique spiritual journey? This fall, you can cruise the Mexican Riviera with Dr. Tony Evans and set your sails towards faith. Renew your soul amidst the waves when you explore Cabo San Lucas, Mazatlan, and Puerto Vallarta. Join the Evans family from November 9th through the 16th for a journey of renewal and exploration. Book your adventure today at TonyEvans.org. Enjoy and explore.
This thing of life is so important that God says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, if you call somebody by a hateful name, you call them, their life is not worth living, which is what the word fool means in that context. Your life is worthless. He says, watch this, you're in jeopardy of hell's fire. Oh, no, you didn't. He says, I will send you to hell. That's what Jesus said, for reducing a person's humanity. So you see, this is about God. So government, you better jump in here. And yes, I know we've got sides of somebody emphasizing life in the womb, somebody emphasizing justice to the tomb. Well, you Christians better come out here and say, okay, well, you know I got to vote here or there, but where I'm going to take my stand is on whole life, comprehensive life. I'm going to take my stand with God. I'm going to take my stand and fight for all of life. So what do we do? You're going to be a kingdom voter. That means you have to vote for life. And life starts at conception because Jesus was conceived as a child and it goes to death. But between the two should be dignity. Between the two should be protection. so that they can maximize their freedom. Now, they may not do anything with their dignity. They may not do anything with their lifespan. But that shouldn't be, because you set up structures, systems, attitudes, or perspectives that got in the way. It should be because they chose to eat the fruit, not because you forced fruit down their throat. It is time for Christians to adopt a whole life agenda and vote for government to protect a whole life agenda. And if your government party only is going to protect one side of it, then you hold them accountable and responsible to not ignore the other side of it. And you do it in a righteous way, because if you try to do it in an unrighteous way, God's not going to be with you there either. It is time for kingdom voters who will take their stand as best they can based on their conscience to take a stand for life. And yes, there are other issues. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about family. We're going to talk about character. We're going to talk about economics, because all of those fit into the platforms of the party. But I want you to think kingdom, which means you don't pick sides when it comes to life. You pick all of life and the dignity of life as you prepare to vote. I think of the book of Esther. It's a unique book, because God's name is nowhere to be found in the book. It is the only book in the Bible where you can't locate God's name. Now, his fingerprints are everywhere, but he never identifies himself directly, and that's the only place in the Bible. Genocide is getting ready to take place. There's a bad dude named Haman, and he wants to get rid of all the Jews. He wants to destroy not only them, but their future, because that's what abortion does. It destroys you and your future. It wants to ruin your life and not give you the freedom to birth future lives. Mordecai comes to Esther, who's been placed in an opportunity to vote. Mordecai says, "Esther, time to cast your ballot. I want you to go into the king and let him know what's going on. Cast your vote, girl. You've been given the opportunity and the freedom in Persia to cast your vote, and I want you to vote." But Esther said, I don't think I can vote. I don't think I can cast my ballot, because I'm not sure which way this is going to go, Esther says. He says, I could be voting the wrong way, because if I vote wrong, it's going to cost me a lot. So I'd rather stay home and not vote than to go out and vote, because I'm not sure which way this election is going to go if I vote. Mordecai sent back a message to Esther. And guess what he told her? He said, "Sister girl," he didn't say sister girl, but you get me. He says, "You've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this." Oh, I like that, because you know that fits right into the kingdom agenda. "You've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this." This is not a time to stay home. This is not a time, because you don't know which way it's going to go, not to vote. No, you go cast your vote. And if you don't do it, God will find somebody else. But don't use your convenience or inconvenience as an excuse not to exercise your opportunity and responsibility. So I say to all the Christians who say, "I want to stay home, because I don't know which way it's going to go. I don't know which one God is going to elect." Remember, kingdom voting is a partnership. God's going to make the final decision, but he still wants your participation. So you don't get to stay home. You get to evaluate the candidates. You get to say which reflects the best view that you can come up with by the leading of God. You've been called to the kingdom. There's chaos in our culture. There's chaos in the world. And you're supposed to be a kingdom Christian and a kingdom disciple casting a kingdom vote. Well, let's be a kingdom voter. Get up out of your chair and go vote. You do the best you can and leave the rest to God. Mordecai said, "This is not a time to stay home. You've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this." So don't go vote as a Democrat, and don't go vote as a Republican, and don't go vote as a Libertarian. Go vote as a kingdom citizen, a representative of the kingdom of God. And to those of you who are under the sound of my voice, where your dignity has been removed, where it was removed by your mother or your father, whether it was removed by another race, whether it was removed by an unjust legal system, or whatever it was that removed your dignity, I have good news for you. Jesus Christ was in a system of infanticide because they were killing babies 2 years and under when he was born, and they were trying to kill him. Jesus knows what it is to be a homeless person. For the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus knows what it's like to be unjustly accused. He knows what it's like for a mob to riot and seek to destroy his life. He knows what it is to receive an unjust death sentence. But I got good news, because the good news of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 is Jesus Christ is available today to conform you to his image. Yeah, that's right. You know, he can change your image, your self-image, your image of other people. He can turn a racist into a non-racist. He can turn prejudice into acceptance. He can remove discrimination. He can give you dignity that you don't have to bend over and have other people ride your back. He can give you significance. And for the lady who's had the abortion, he can forgive you. He can let you begin again because you're still in his image.
Dr. Evans has a closing invitation to share with you in just a moment. But first, I want to remind you that today's message is part of his current series, Returning God to Government, a practical look at how God's kingdom agenda ought to shape the decisions we'll be making on Election Day. We're offering the complete 10-part collection on CD or digital download as our thank you gift when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. And as I mentioned earlier, it'll come your way bundled with a copy of his book and brand new Bible study with video streaming content, Kingdom Politics. It's the perfect package of resources to review on your own or to share with your small group before going to the polls in November. But this offer is only available for a limited time, so don't wait. Get details today at tonyevans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222. Where members of our resource team are standing by to help you day and night. Again, 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans says families were the Creator's idea. And no matter how much society tries to redefine the family, God's original design is the only blueprint worth following. On Monday, he'll explain why that truth should not only change the way we live, but the way we vote. Right now, though, he's back with a special invitation to close out today's program.
So the beautiful thing about coming to Christ is that he can take whatever is messed up, and he is the fixer-upper. So I invite you now, if you've never come to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never recognized he died on the cross for you, in your place for your sins, he rose from the dead to give you eternal life, and that if you will simply trust him alone as your sin bearer. If you'll go to him right now and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I recognize you want to be my Savior, and I trust you now to come into my life, forgive me of my sin, and give me the eternal life that you promised to give if I came to you for it. I receive it now by faith. He will forgive your past, no matter how bad that past is, and he'll restore your image, because that's why you were created. We're going to believe God is going to transform your life and mine as we continue following him to the destiny he created us to achieve. God bless you.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.